So, do you guys have any questions that maybe like during this talk you were just like, oh, I have this on my heart, my heart's beating, I maybe should ask this. So I'm just gonna stand here and let there be awkward silence. Yeah.
As far as the fruitful part, how does that apply to marriages where, for either whether it's the man's body or the woman's body, they can't conceive?
That's an awesome question, and that's a question that people always ask. Is the truth that even the fact that, like, if people cannot conceive, that still they're being united in the purpose of sex? And there have been couples who maybe couldn't conceive that through the grace of God they could. I just look at, even in scripture, couples who were barren, like, God allowed them. The thing is, it's possible still. Even if they're barren, it's still possible. But with a same-sex union, there is no, absolutely no possibility. I actually have some friends who, a lot of my female friends have had issues getting pregnant. And there's a thing called NAPRO technology, that one of my friends is a NAPRO technology surgeon. There are only 10 NAPRO technology surgeons in the country, whereas most doctors just prescribe the pill to patch up any and every, they prescribe it like candy. My friends who are doctors are like, in med school, they don't teach you about natural family planning. They just tell you to prescribe the birth control pill and as a Band-Aid for everything. And one of my friends who's a doctor, she said, I wanted to know why, what the real root problem was. And so she's a NAPRO technology surgeon. So my friends who've had, like, ovarian cysts, my friends who have endometriosis, they actually go through a surgery that is like approved by the Catholic Church. And a lot of my friends have been able to get pregnant rather than just having a pill that Band-Aids it up and patches it up. They actually go to the root and the source and see what is going on in the woman's body.
Beyond that, too, it's not just a biological fruitfulness we're called to. There's also, like, a spiritual fatherhood we're all called to, a spiritual motherhood we're all called to. Because I actually had a campus minister ask me a similar question. And it turned out she talked to me after the presentation, and she was infertile. And for her, it was like a big, like, wound and big source of hurt. And I just, after listening to her, I really, and by the grace of God, I somehow, like, said the right words to tell her, like, listen, you are a spiritual mother to more of these young college women than you'll ever know. Like, the way you care after them, the way they look up to you for advice or look up to you for guidance, the things they tell you that they won't tell anyone else. So, I mean, even to nieces, nephews, friends, or the people under our care, there's a spiritual fruitfulness. There's a beautiful spiritual fruitfulness we're all called to. And especially as you look at celibacy and you that cross of, like, I'm giving up biological fruitfulness, but there's a spiritual fruitfulness that, you know, sometimes you can't be contained to one biological family. Like, your love is so vast that, like, God asks you to love and have thousands of children.
And also, like, you're not putting something in the way, you're not disinviting God. Because basically what contraception is, it's when you're fertile and you're disinviting God from the bedroom. You're saying, oh, we don't want you here. But couples who are infertile are still participating in that and inviting God into that union, and which is even a spiritual fruitfulness. They're not placing something between them to say no. They're still open to it, and it's still possible. All right. That was a great question.
How does the nature of love in the Catholic Church view male-to-male love relationships and when they get married as non-Catholic women?
So what's the view of same-sex marriage in the Catholic Church in relation to this? Well, a homosexual union can't be total, because you can't totally give, you're not even giving, like, and contraception unions can't be total either, because you're like, I'm giving all of you except my reproductive organs. You know, it can't be total, and it can't be fruitful either. And the thing is, like, I have friends, and this is what's so crazy. Like, how many of you guys know people who struggle with same-sex attraction yet are living chaste lifestyles? Wow, I do too. But I would say by 3 years ago, I didn't know anybody. Because the world tells you, basically, oh, well, you have that desire within you, you just go do whatever. And my friends who struggle with same-sex attraction yet they're Catholic, and they're like, I want... Before anything else, I want heaven. And even as a heterosexual woman, I'm like, I would give up anything for heaven. I would give up a family. I would give up a husband, because that's what I want first. And so my friends, and I've had young men and young women tell me that they've struggled with same-sex attraction. The thing is, their sexual urge is not bad. I mean, it's a twisted desire, and it's like they're good people, and that is not sinful in itself. What is sinful is the acting upon it. And we have to have dignity and like see them with dignity and respect and treat them with complete love. But in our culture, obviously people think that if you don't agree with same-sex unions, you're a hater and you're a bigot. I mean, we've all been called that, especially if you've ever posted anything on Facebook. You know, you're like, okay, here it goes again. You're a hater. You're a bigot. I'm like, I don't hate anybody. My sister's best friend is a gay lesbian. I'm like, I don't hate her. I love her. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. She's such a kind person. But I'm like, but again, like if I truly love somebody, I'm not going to be like, oh, sure, go touch the stove and just do whatever you want. I'm going to be like, I need to bring them to love. I want them to know the truth. Because if you love somebody, you want them to know the truth. And so that was a great question. Did I answer your question about the free total? No, because in the thing, it's not a marriage. Even if you go into marriage and you're not actually living any of those things, that's why you can get an annulment. Because you need all four of these things to be truly a sacramental marriage. So when two homosexuals are united, it's not a marriage. Like that's why the word, it's not even possible. It's not even possible for it to be a marriage because it doesn't have all those things. Just as a couple goes into marriage knowing that they're going to contracept their union, that's actually a grounds for an annulment. And the same, if they came there not freely, they could get an annulment because they weren't telling the truth or whatever it was. They're not following any of those things. Do you have anything? Great question. Anything else that came on your hearts that was, yeah.
I was just thinking about, like, you mentioned that. What if someone gets a gender change and the church wouldn't really know?
Yeah, she said, what if somebody gets a gender change? Yeah, I actually took a sex roles and gender class in college because I studied psychology or sociology. And that, I would just say that is a difficult cross because some people are born with a hypothalamus of the opposite sex in their bodies, or some people were hermaphrodites and they had to choose when they were babies. I mean, that is like, I can't even imagine the burden of like being in a female body and feeling like you're a male your whole life because maybe your hypothalamus is a male. Like that's difficult. And it's even difficult because as male and female, we actually have a male soul and a female soul. So in that case, I don't even know. The church has really never even said anything. Do you know about transgendered? Or people have had sex changes?
I think it's a loaded question.
Yeah. It's a loaded question. That's all right. I mean, but I would say that, I mean, just like anything else, like if you desire heaven, then I feel like nothing else matters really, except for like, you're like, all right, Lord, like whatever struggle or cross that comes my way, like I will do this for you because I love you and I want to get to heaven.
I think too, just knowing that regardless of our makeup, like again, we secure in the Father's love. And this is where, as Catholics, we have to believe that, like, so much of what has happened is because sin is real. Like, sin has entered the world and not just disrupted the human person, it's disrupted the whole of nature. And so that, you know, you don't read about earthquakes and tsunamis and, you know, the Loch Ness Monster in Genesis. Because there's a certain harmony in nature before sin enters the world. And now sin enters, and now there's even this kind of, like, within the human person, you know, this spectrum of disorder. This doesn't mean we're not loved as equally, but it is a call, no matter what we're no matter our attraction, we're all called to this chaste love. And I know myself growing up, I always assumed I would be married. And it was almost like God had to kind of purify that away to be like, marriage is a call. We grow up in a culture where we assume, and most of us are called to the married state versus a celibate state. But regardless of that, we're all called to chastity. We're all called to a chaste love before then. So, I mean, a person who struggles with same-sex attraction, a person who struggles with, like, opposite attraction, I have to be just as chaste. Until there's a ring on her finger, like, and you vows. Know, and vows. Yeah. What? Uh-oh. There's a love of the Father we all have to rest in. And there's also a universal call to chastity, to love, even in marriage. So, again, your question's a good question, but it's going to require like a whole nother night to get into. So,
all right. Can we do one more question and then? Okay. Yes.
I'm just gonna get real here. Can you talk a little bit more about kind of like the healing and the redemption? Because I think it's awesome that we all strive to change, but
yeah.
Like when you've been so broken, like how do you then like love another person?
And she said, "How when you're broken and there's been a lot of stuff, how are we healed to love again? Like, how are we going to be healed to love again?" And I know, especially this, I know a lot of, I work with a lot of young girls, and especially in the case of abuse, statistically, 1/4 of every girl is abused sexually. And when it comes to something that's been done to you, and you feel dirty or not worthy, and you feel like you can't love again, or if you've committed a sin and you've given yourself away and we feel like we're not worthy. The truth is that God is the divine physician and he is the healer and he can heal any wound. But we have to it's not gonna happen like this. But when we have healing that needs to happen, if you've been in a relationship where you've given yourself away and you've bonded yourself to another person, or if you have been violated, it takes time to be healed. But the greatest source of healing is the Eucharist. Every time we go to Mass and we say, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." God truly heals you. Every single Mass you should leave healed. And when I started going to daily Mass 10 years ago, I started noticing how God was healing all my wounds. Slowly but surely. And the things I struggle with then, I don't struggle with as much now. It might be a deeper, he's like, "Oh, Jackie, you were a prideful nincompoop back then, but now you're going to look even deeper into your pride and see these smaller things that you struggle with too." And when it comes to being violated or whatever it is, or our sin, that if we have faith, if we truly have faith and know that God can heal us, he can do anything. God can do anything. And I truly believe like we are made new creations. Like whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so if you've made mistakes in your past, and Bobby shared that in his past, I'm like, you're not, the Bobby that I know is not that, like you're a new creation. You've gone to confession. It's gone. In my eyes, it's not there anymore. Yes, that's right. Now you can clap for that. And he spent 3 years in seminary. So that probably helped too. Yeah, heal, purgify. I just made up a new word. To purge, you know, all that stuff.
And to just tap onto that, I have my spiritual director tells me sometimes, for those of us who tend to beat up on ourselves a little bit about what we've done, about mistakes we've made, he tells me from time to time, he says, "God doesn't like it when you beat up on someone he loves. Like, go easy on yourself." Listen, there's a healthy dose of learning to like some awful things may have been done to us or we've done to ourselves or we've done to another person. But in humility, you look at yourself for who you really are. You see how God sees you and says, "You know what? I still love you. Like you may have done this, but that's not you. Underneath that is the daughter I created. Underneath these actions is the son I'm still calling to greatness." And so resting in that, in the Eucharist, in prayer, in people that support you and can build you up, if you're there, God can bring you back again.